Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The following program has been pre-recorded. Thanks for tuning in this weekend to Let's Talk Portland, Odyssey Portland's weekly public affairs program. My name's Gary Bloxham. One of the most visible issues in and around Portland right now is our homeless population. Sometimes it can seem overwhelming, but there is an organization out there trying to help. Let's talk about it. On the show this time, I would like to welcome Jason Christensen. Jason is the new executive director of the Union Gospel Mission. Hey there, Jason. Welcome to Let's Talk Portland.
Thank you, Gary. I appreciate you having me here.
So you're new to this position, but you're not new to this type of work, right?
That's correct. I've been pretty fortunate and blessed to have spent the last two decades working with vulnerable populations, mostly the homeless and substance addicted.
Well, first of all, welcome to Portland.
Well, thank you.
And you come to us from Denver. Tell me about the history of you and this type of work.
Well, it really happened with a calling. I had been working for my local congressman and got recruited from our Catholic bishop to go work with Catholic Charities, and they needed some help, and it became a conversion experience for me, and working again with foster children, refugees, nursing home residents, and then also those experiencing homelessness and substance addiction.
So now you're in Portland, and you're working at the Union Gospel Mission, the executive director. So tell me about, you've been there since April, so about 6 months? How's it going so far?
It's been great. I have to tell you something. You know, I came here in the fall of 2019 for my daughter was actually considering going to attend school out of here. And she and her sister and I came out here, and we absolutely fell in love with the city. Just an amazing place. And I made sure that, I had been here before. I made sure that we stayed downtown. They got to experience, the Saturday market, and all the great things that downtown has to offer. And so I was really excited, when she decided to come to school here and that, and then the opportunity to come to work, here came up. I will have to say in the year and a half of that time, when we had visited Portland to when I accepted the job, it had broken my heart to see what had happened, you know, obviously with the summer of unrest and then the pandemic. It could have discouraged somebody from wanting to come, but to me, it only inspired. I said, this is a city that has so much character, and I know that it's going to come back. It's a city with big heart, compassionate people. And so it made it really easy for me to make that decision to come here and accept the offer to come work with Union Gospel Mission.
Well, that is wonderful, because that's one thing Portlanders have is a big city pride. We love the city.
As it should. You know, what I have found in my little time here, and, you know, there's a diversity of thought and opinion, but I think one thing that runs consistent, regardless of your political stripe, is this is a very compassionate city. And so, you know, that kind of makes it gives you a little bit of a step up, in particular the line of work that we try to do here at Union Gospel Mission.
So we do have a pretty large homeless population, and that's the population that Union Gospel Mission works with. I have to ask you honestly, was it overwhelming when you stepped into the position?
A little bit, but I'm somebody who's been accused of having his feet firmly planted in the air. And so I really just sort of look at it as the mission field is that much larger, and it's that much more opportunity to go and meet people where they are. It is pretty dramatic. I come from Denver, which has, its own issues with homelessness. But I hadn't seen it quite the severity I've had in Portland. But the great thing about Portland is there are so many organizations willing to step up and help folks out. And it is not just with the civic pride, but also just the pride in caring for its people.
So if somebody doesn't know about the Union Gospel Mission, tell us and tell our audience exactly what kind of work you guys do.
Well, it's a homeless service organization, and our mission is to care for the homeless, to help bring them off the street, and to restore the addict. So many people that find themselves in a homeless situation are struggling with mental health or addiction issues, and so that's what we try to do. One program that I'm really proud of is our search and rescue team, and we go out 6 nights a week. And we go to the camps and we meet people where they are. And our goal is to just build relationships with people with the idea in mind that there is a better life available for them outside of the camps and living on the streets. And that relationship may come in the form of sharing a sandwich with them or a hot cup of coffee or a clean, dry pair of socks. What was really heartwarming for me, Gary, was when I went out was to see not just our staff, but we rely on a lot of volunteers, but volunteers talking to people in camps on a name-to-name basis. They know each other. And, sometimes a barrier is for people to come out of the camps are, there might be restrictions or requirements in a living arrangement that they may not want to comply with. And so our objective is to lower those barriers, to get people to, again, build trust with them so that they will make the decision to come off the streets and to live a life that's better suited for them.
How big of an issue is the trust issue or lack thereof?
It's large, and especially when you consider the female population that are living on the street. And I can tell you that 93% of the women that have come through our Life Change program have been victims of abuse. And so it's a tough life on the streets, there's no question. And women are especially vulnerable to it. And so to trust someone with your life to make a decision to, okay, I want to come in, I want to be at your shelter and that, I want to get enrolled in your program, or I will take a referral to another program, is pretty big. And so that's why, you got to kind of play the long game with this. And that is, not everybody's going to make that decision right then and there the first time we meet them. But if we can build a relationship with them, that eventually we can break down those barriers and establish a trust to where they can make a decision to come in. And we have had some great success stories of people coming off the streets because of the relationship that we have made through our volunteers and our staff.
Off the top of your head, do you have a success story you can share with us?
Got many. I won't use names specifically, but one fellow who was unfortunately somebody had set his tent on fire. And here was a man who was deeply, deeply distrustful of any help. And he was in great need. But through our outreach worker, we were able to get him connected with a church that allowed him to safe camp near their grounds. And then over the course of, it's been about 8 weeks now, we've been able to get him into institutional care, something that he was deeply reluctant to do. But now we know that he sleeps safe at night. He's got medical attention. He's not at risk of things like having his tent set on fire. We have several stories like that.
Is he a guy that you met through the search and rescue program?
That's exactly how we met him, through search and rescue.
That's awesome. We're talking today with Jason Christensen, the Executive Director of the Union Gospel Mission. So, Jason, How has the pandemic in the last, 18 months or so, how has that changed things and changed the work that the Gospel Mission does?
Well, I think if you look at the data nationwide, 40% of the American public is in a housing fragile state, meaning that they're one or two paychecks away from losing their housing. The pandemic, for as awful as it has been, it has at least increased public awareness of just our economic safety net that we have, and how fragile things can be for people. Clearly, the numbers have gone up. The number that we're seeing on the street. I would say this you will find. I mean, there are essentially two categories of people who are homeless. There's a chronic and those who find themselves in acute state. Those who are in acute state have the capacity and a lot of times the initiative to get themselves out of their situations. They're highly motivated. People who have been in a chronic homeless situation, for years, whether it's substance addiction or mental illness, it's a little bit tougher of a haul to get them out of their situation. So, there is a silver lining to the cloud, I guess you could say, is, well, unfortunately, we find more people who are at risk of losing their housing or find themselves in an acute houseless state. They have a little bit of capacity to get themselves out of the situation.
The pandemic certainly seems to be dragging on, right? But there is some light at the end of the tunnel. We all have some hope. Are you seeing any changes with that glimmer of hope out there?
Well, we have tried to, we are getting ourselves, inching ourselves back to pre-pandemic numbers in terms of our residency at our shelter and that. And then returning to our, we still have measures in place. We serve our meals that we do on a daily basis here at our Burnside location. They are to go. We got permission from the city to do open air, so we have outdoor seating now. So it gives people a little chance to stick around in that and an opportunity for us to engage folks. But we're not fully there yet. We want to make sure that we are operating in a way that is respectful and mindful of the health of both the people we serve, our staff, and our volunteers. But we're inching there. We're getting back.
Yeah. How important is that? Is the social aspect that seems to be not happening right now, but in better times, the social aspect I am assuming is really important when people can come together at the mission and get to know each other.
I think you nailed it right there, Gary, because it's all relational. It's about relationship, and that's what we try to do, is establish rapport with people, and so find out what's going on in their life. What brought them to their situation? A lot of people have experienced trauma. To understand their trauma is to understand a way that we can find them, to help them find a way out of their current living situation. So, yeah, relationship is so key to it.
We're talking today with Jason Christensen, Executive Director of the Union Gospel Mission. Now, the Gospel Mission has something coming up very soon. It's that yearly thing that we all love. It's called Operation Overcoat. Let's talk about it.
Yes, well, Operation Overcoat has been going on for 20 years, and it's an event where we have gathered downtown at our Burnside location, and we've served up to 1,000 neighbors at a time. It used to be, prior to the pandemic, kind of a sort of a block party in a way. We'd have entertainment, and we'd serve food, and we would pass out essential items that people needed, in preparing for the colder months. Obviously, the pandemic changed that, but something I think good came out of this, because I think there's a key statistic that a lot of people aren't, they may be aware of it, but haven't given full thought to it. When we think of the homeless situation in Portland, we see downtown, and sometimes we'll see it in the outlying areas. What a lot of people don't understand is about 20% of the homeless population is actually downtown. We're looking at 80% of the homeless are in outlying areas. And so when we shifted Operation Overcoat last year to off-site collection points, they also became off-site distribution points. And so we were meeting people where they are. Not only did it allow us to serve more people, but allow us to engage more people to become fully aware, more aware of what's going on in terms of our homeless neighbors.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but social services usually are in the downtown core because that's usually where the population is. But you're saying that has changed.
That has changed, and we have relied upon a lot of our faith partners and a lot of church organizations, church communities, to collect these winter essential items and then also to distribute there on site.
Why do you think that has changed? Why are they the people that need the help? They're not in the downtown core.
Your guess might be as good as mine, but I think it's also just the number of people that are experiencing homelessness has just grown, and we're finding it even in our suburbs and even in places of modest means and affluence, that it's people are being struck with this. They're experiencing some form of hardship where they find themselves out on the streets.
So you say in years past, Operation Overcoat used to be kind of a big block party right outside your main offices on Burnside. And now it's a little bit different. So tell us about, I know last year you had to pivot and make things a little bit different. What's it going to look like for 2021?
Very similar, except we've got, I'm going to count here. I've got, counting at least a dozen and a half church partners throughout the Portland metro area, who will be collecting. And then this coming Saturday is our first day of distribution, where we will deliver the backpacks, shoes, coats, and pants, and other supplies that people will need. We increased our goal last year. We wanted to serve 600 folks. This year, our plan is to serve 800, and we're getting pretty close to that number of backpacks now.
Oh, that's great. 800 people, that's a lot of people that you're helping out.
Well, it is a lot, and it does go a long way in that. But if you look at the data, I mean, there's about 15,000 people that they estimate that are experiencing homelessness in the Portland metro region. And so it's certainly, it doesn't help everybody, but it sure is important to all those that we are reaching out and touching.
Yeah. What's all in the backpack?
Shoes, coats, pants, hand warmers, really the things that people need, rain slickers. It's because we've been fortunate to work with vendors, we can keep the cost pretty low. If people wanted to sponsor a backpack, they could do so. It costs just under $24, $23.53 exactly. If you wanted to purchase a backpack, that we could get into the hands of one of our homeless neighbors.
That's amazing. And some of the information that was given to me before this interview, you say that it costs about $23.53 for you guys to do it, but for someone else to do it, to just go buy the stuff, it's over $200.
Yeah. Like I said, we've been very fortunate with some generous vendors who have been willing to give us some items at cost or donate them.
That's really wonderful. So how can the general population help out?
Well, again, we are doing collections, our list of partners is available on our website. You could also go to our website if you want to just make a contribution, and then we can make the purchase of the backpack. If you go to ugmportland.org, it'll be right there on our landing page, and you can make a gift to Operation Overcoat. We're also accepting donations at our Burnside location this coming weekend.
And these are all new items you're looking for, right?
Yes, we are looking for new items. Yeah, and we'll take gently used sleeping bags, boots, and coats, but things like undergarments, we would like to be new.
Why do you think this is so important?
It's about human dignity. It really is. It's easy to drive by and you can see a tent, but inside those tents, the person. And my father taught me a valuable lesson one day when we were driving by an old scrapyard. And he said, each car that's in that junkyard there has 0 miles on the odometer. And each car had that new car smell. And we got to kind of look at people that way. People might come to us looking beat up and pretty rough, and life has treated them tough. But every person is worthy of dignity and respect and care. And that's really what this is about, is honoring the human beings that have, for whatever life has handed to them, that they're worthy of our care. They're worthy of our compassion.
That's a really great great thing to tell somebody who maybe has become a little bit callous about our homeless situation, because it seems so so visible and so overwhelming. Like, what? I don't even know what to do. Where do I start? So that's
well, Gary, I think though, and I've been to a couple neighborhood meetings, and I can get people's frustration, because I don't think it's right. I don't think anybody thinks it's right that somebody would have to live in a tent, and we get frustrated when we see the trash that can accumulate, people want to bring their children downtown in that, and do they have concerns about their safety, and is it clean, is it safe? I get that people can be frustrated by that, but at the end of the day, we do have to look at, these are human beings, and maybe they can't see their way through it. That's what, organizations like Union Gospel Mission and other partner homeless service organizations are trying to do, is to lift people out of their current existence and get them into a better life, a life worthy of dignity and respect.
We're talking today with Jason Christensen, Executive Director of the Union Gospel Mission. Jason, tell me about some of the other services that the mission provides.
Well, we offer our meal services through downtown. But the big thing that has the most transformative effect is our Life Change program. And our men's program is located downtown at our Burnside facility, and then we have a program for women and their children out in Beaverton. And this is up to a two-year program. People who have been experiencing homelessness or domestic abuse or substance addiction, what we do is we give them a safe place. We pull them out of the vortex that they've been living in, get them in a safe place, provide them shelter, their clothing, all their means to live, and to help get them on a right trajectory with their life, to make healthy life choices, and to become more self-reliant. And we've had tremendous success in that. 73% of the men who graduate in our men's program stay clean and sober, and we're over 80% for the women who graduate through our program there.
Wow, those are great statistics. I like to hear that. And some of the guys that I've interviewed, Bill Russell a million times from Union Gospel Mission, and he was the former executive director, and he'd had some really great success stories about people who really changed their life through the Life Change program and came back and gave back to the Union Gospel Mission. Has that been your experience as well?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've seen, and we utilize folks as they become resident assistants, and they can mentor folks as they're coming through the program. I'm really excited. Luis, who is one of our just rock and roll success stories, came through our program, got out of gang life, and got himself sober, and he's just a tremendous tremendous guy, wonderful father to his son, who is now serving as our intake coordinator here. And so he knows when the men come in their program, he knows where they are. He's been there himself. And so not only can he empathize with them, which is great, he can also kind of snuff out when they might be telling him a line or something.
Been there, done that.
it takes a duck to know a duck.
Right.
And so we're really excited to have him slotted in that role for us. We think that he's just going to be great for the new people that are coming in here. Because, going back to what we were talking about earlier, Gary, about trust, somebody is on the fence. I don't know if I want to come join your program or not. And here you have a guy who has done it. He lived it. He was on the streets and he came in and he benefited from men's life change. So we're very excited to have that. I think when you can utilize your own, it's all the better.
Awesome. We've got about a minute or so, Jason. Tell me everything I need to know and everybody needs to know about Operation Overcoat and how listeners can help out.
Well, again, thank you so much for having me and letting me talk about this. Again, this is our annual Gear Up to Help people prepare as they go into the winter season, where we will be getting survival gear for our homeless neighbors. How you can help is you can drop off items. What we're looking for are sleeping bags, gently used sleeping bags, boots, coats, and new undergarments, pants and socks. And you can drop them off at the Union Gospel Mission downtown at 3rd Northwest 3rd Avenue. Or you can go to our website at UGM Portland, and you'll see, you just click on Operation Overcoat, and for $23.53, you can purchase a backpack full of these items, and we will make sure we get them to the hands of our homeless neighbors.
Well, as always, you guys are doing such great work. And Jason, welcome to Portland.
Thank you so much, Gary. So happy to be here.
We've been talking today with Jason Christensen, Executive Director of the Union Gospel Mission. Thanks again. If you'd like to hear this interview again, just search for Let's Talk Portland on the Odyssey app. Let's Talk Portland is an Odyssey Portland public affairs program.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.